If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Timothy and chapter 4, verse 10, God's word reads as follows: "For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." Amen. Let's go to God's with prayer before we start looking at His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, for how great You are. We pray tonight that we will listen to Your Word, and we will set our hope on You and You alone. We honor You, we glorify You, we lift up Your name, for You deserve every honor and every glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We definitely live in a hopeless times. I see hopelessness on all levels and everywhere. The world seems hopeless in front of the COVID-19 epidemic. Many people group, especially in the Middle East, seem hopeless in front of the civil wars raging in their countries, such as Syria, Yemen, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and lately Nagorno-Karabakh in Armenia. In Lebanon, the Lebanese people are losing hope due to their corrupt leaders, economic crisis, Beirut explosion, and the COVID-19. In America, a lot of people are losing hope after the elections due to the result not turning out the way they want. That is normal if we live in a world of unbelievers, for they are truly hopeless since the dawn of history. Yet how can believers in Jesus Christ be hopeless or lose hope in such times, when that is all they need and have? Hope. Where is your hope tonight? In whom do you trust? Over the centuries, we've seen our forefathers, since day one, when Jesus left them on this earth, base their life on a firm hope, on a solid and strong hope that made them conquer the world, that made them bring uproar to the world. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. But today, we seem to have lost that strength that is drawn from founding our hope on the right premise and pillars. And tonight, I just want to look with you at a few thoughts concerning hope. I love Paul saying, you know, for this end we toil and strive. We work hard. Why? Because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people. And it's important and crucial to know on what you base your hope. Hope is one of the three integral pillars for our being, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians. So now faith, hope, and love abide. And if our hope is not built on firm foundation, then our faith and love will be wavering just like our hope. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Paul writing in Hebrews, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So we can reach eternity, our hope has to be eternal. What are the things hoped for that have been assured that we need to base our hope on? Our hope should be built on the living God, the great I Am, who is the Alpha and the Omega. Our hope should be built on the Savior, Jesus Christ, and His redemptive plan that spreads from the beginning of times to the end of times. We toil and strive because our hope is set on the living God. What about the living God? I want to share with you about the reasonableness of God's existence. We worship a living God. He's alive. He's not dead. He's a God you can speak to. He's a God you can share your sorrows with and your joys. He's a God you can communicate with on a daily basis. And the only reasonable answer for our existence is God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is the only sane explanation for our existence. The Big Bang Theory is not an explanation. Evolution is not an explanation. You have to be insane to believe in these things. So many missing links and so many things that are not straight and don't make sense. But the thing that makes sense to a sane person is that God is there is a mastermind behind all this creation. And when you base your hope on a living God, that hope is firm, is strong, and is solid. It doesn't waver. When you base your hope on a dead God, you're definitely going to waver. You're definitely going to doubt. You definitely are not able to continue your journey on this earth. But when your hope is founded on a living God, and that is the reasonable thing to do, that is the right thing to do, because He is the creator of all that we see around us, and He is our creator. And who best than Him for us to set our hope on? So Paul is saying, we toil and strive. We continue, we fight, we go ahead because our hope is set on the living God. Not only this is the reasonable thing to do, but also the responsibility of God's unequivocal love. God loves us. What better to put your hope in a person than the person who loves you most? You see, God is responsible. At times I come to think, why did God keep us? Why did God say, Adam, okay, I'm going to love you and take care of you and redeem you? Why? Couldn't He have packed it? I mean, if I was creating something or inventing something, I didn't like it, and it didn't work the way I wanted, it didn't come up to my expectation, I'd just take it and throw it in the trash can. Finish. Let's do something new. Well, God didn't do this because of His unequivocal love. Because His love is responsible. Because He cares. And when you put your hope in somebody or something that doesn't care, that has no love for you, what do you expect? How's your life going to be? We need to build and set our hope on something that cares and loves. And who is better than God? In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave. He did something. It doesn't say, for God so loved the world that He told them so. It says He gave. Action. You know, a lot of times people are tired of us just saying, Jesus loves you. They want to see something. They want to feel something. And most of the time the question we are asked, show me how. Show me how Jesus loves me. I'm hungry. Are you ready to feed me? I need a shoulder to cry on. Are you there? And God is that person. And that's why we set our hope on a living God who is responsible, who is the reasonable answer for our existence.
And thirdly, it's the reassurance of God's eternality. That's why we set our hope on God. He's alive from everlasting to everlasting. There is no end for Him. There is no beginning for Him. He's not like us. If I put my trust in a person, in a president who has a term of 4 years, it's going to end. If I trust in my father or my mother or my relatives, they're going to end. But God doesn't end. God has no beginning, has no end. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Asked by Moses, who shall I tell them? You're sending me to these people. He says, I am that I am. That's what you tell them. And that's when an Israelite used to hear that, it gave him this awe. You know, I am is speaking. I am is with me. And that's what we need to realize. That the God we are setting our hope on is the I am. Is the everlasting God. Not just anything. And that's why we are able to move forward. That's why we are able to toil and strive. Because we have the right foundation. That's why our forefathers, those who came before us, were ready to die at the stake. We're ready to burn. We're ready to be eaten by the beast. We're ready to be crucified. That's why. Because their hope was right. And here we live in a world where we are afraid of a virus. And it's just crippling us and not letting us be able to function. Or we are depressed because the person we desire to elect and put in office did not come to office. You know who's in office? It's not this person or that. It's God is in office. God runs the world. He's on the throne. And when people desire not to be used by Him, He will use a donkey. Make no mistake about this. God is in office. We should never forget this. He runs the show. Be not weary and do not get discouraged because things did not go your way. Remember, God is in charge. Remember, where is your hope? It's not in this president or that president. It's in God Almighty. It is set on a living God. That is the reason of our existence. Who is responsible to love us. And we should not forget that. And He is the assurance of who we are and what we are. So may God help us tonight to set our hope on the living God. We see also, He says, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people. Not just God. He is the Savior. He is what we need. He is what every person living on this earth or lived on this earth needs. We all need a Savior. We are all sinners. None of us is not in need of a Savior. Not those who came before, not those who are going to come after. We all need a Savior. And what better Savior than Jesus Christ to put your hope on? Why? Why should we put our hope in Jesus as our Savior? Because He is the promise of God in the garden. You see, your hope has to be based on something concrete. What better things to base your hope on than the promises of God that are yes and amen. God said to Adam and to the serpent, He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That was the start of the redemption plan. That's when everything started. Things rolled.
Abraham put his hope in that. Moses put his hope in that. David put his hope in that. They were hoping. They looked way down by faith. Faith is the things assured for. We hope for. And we need to realize that. And understand that. Our hope should be built on the promises of God. Our hope should be built on the proclamation of the gospel, which is the hope of the world. The good news. Our lives should be centered around the gospel. Everything that we do, everything that we think about, everything that we make decisions about should be centered around the gospel. We are here on this earth for the gospel. You have to be insane not to desire to go and be with your master. When I got saved, my desire was to go see Jesus. I wanted to be with my Lord. I did not want to live on this earth. My desire was to go. The only reason God kept me here is for the gospel's sake. And the only reason God has kept us all here, it's for the gospel. Whether you're a businessman, a doctor, a lawyer, or any other profession, you are to set the gospel in front of you. The gospel should be the engine of your life. Because it brings hope to this world. And we are the hope of this world. We live in a hopeless world that needs hope. And if they can't find hope in our churches, in our lives, where can they find hope? They need to find hope in us. Why? Because of the good news. That's why. The good news is the hope. Not a new invention. Not a new vaccine. Not a president. Not an administration. Not technology. But the gospel. The gospel is the whole story of our life. That's why we're here. Not anything else. You're not here to live your life. You're here for the gospel. Paul the Apostle says, I have a desire to go. But it is more needful to stay. I have been trying to die for Jesus for the last 40 years. And he's saying, not yet. That's it. I want to go. But God is keeping me and keeping us for the gospel's sake. Why? Because the proclamation of the gospel brings hope to people. And thirdly, we see the pains of Golgotha. Our hope is not only built on the proclamation of the gospel, our hope also is built on the pains of Golgotha. Jesus had to die. He had to die so that we can hope. He had to suffer. Now, I love what Paul says in Hebrews 2, 9, 10. It says, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Through suffering. We have to understand that our hope is legit. It's legal. A lot of times we want to hope in things that are illegal. I hope when I am committing adultery, nobody catches me. Wow. No. Our hope is built on righteousness. And that's the hymn, you know. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. Can't have hope that is not legal. And Jesus came and died on the cross to appease the justice of God, the wrath of God, to fulfill his justice. And that's why our hope is strong. It doesn't waver. Our hope also
is founded on the profitless grave, that empty grave. He's risen. He arose. Death could not keep him. Where is thy sting? This is the beauty of our hope. You know, always wondering what made the disciples go so aggressively and just invade the world and bring change. What made the gospel go so fast in just a few years, conquered the known world at that time? What made that? And you come to think of it, these disciples saw Jesus being crucified on a cross and be put in a grave.
And there he was standing in front of them and saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Wow!
This is nuts.
That's why they went. That was the drive. They have seen this man suffer and die, and there he was standing in front of them. The power over death.
Most people today are afraid of death, right? We're scared. Take every precaution not to die. When Jesus gave us hope to face death with open eyes. See, death is the train that moves us from one station to another, to us as believers. We do not fear death. Because we believe in the sovereignty of God and we believe that nobody dies before his time. God only takes you when he wants to. Nothing will touch you if he does not allow it. He is the giver of life and he is the taker of it. Make no mistake about this. Not COVID-19, not anything. See, God has the internal vaccine in you. When he wants it, he activates it. And you're done. And that's where our hope is built. On that profitless grave that could not keep our Lord in and cannot keep us in. And we need to realize that. And finally, our hope is built and founded on the preeminence of glory. We are going to be in glory. We look for a home that is beyond this earth. You know, I love Abraham. We're always seeking to be settlers when we should be pilgrims on this earth. And I think the story of Abraham and Lot gives us that beautiful picture of what it means to be a pilgrim and what it means to be a settler. And what are the consequences of these decisions? Abraham lived in a tent all his life, moving from one place to another, serving and being what God wants him to be. While Lot chose a city and lived in a city and built a city and built a home, what happened to the city? It was burned. Because God did not mean for us to be on this earth settlers. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He didn't care about this earth. And our hope is awesome and great because it has to do with something beyond this earth. If we had to hope for what is on this earth, we're done. We're most miserable. Because there is no hope for this earth. And the only hope that this earth has is the hope of the gospel. And we should never try to bring heaven to earth, but take earth to heaven. Tonight, dear brethren, where is your hope? In whom do you trust? How are you living in these difficult times? I don't think the world has faced times like these in a long time. I felt we need to speak about hope and live our hope in front of this world. Not act like them. Be different. Show them what it means to have genuine hope. A hope that is built on firm foundations. A hope that is built on the living God, the Savior of all. Where is your hope tonight? I pray that you will not leave this place and trusting in anything else than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. May God help us. Let us pray. Heavenly
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for how great you are. We thank you because you are the hope of all mankind. Oh Lord, we pray that we live on this earth in a way to lead people to you, to lead people to the true hope, the eternal hope, the hope that brings them life, an abundant life. We honor you, we glorify you, we thank you for your word and for its impact on our lives. We pray that we will never leave this place trusting in anything than in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Okay, thank you. So good to be able to share with you of how Tyre Church is being the hope of Tyre at this time in its history. And I want to thank you for your prayers. Many of you pray for us, and we need that greatly, especially at such a time when Lebanon is really devastated with economic crisis, with the Beirut explosion, and to top it all was the COVID-19. And thank you for your continual support to us and to our ministry, and we pray that this will continue as God will get the glory and the gospel advances in a country and in an area where Islam is dominant, but we do not lose hope that God is able to do things. And as you see on the slide, this is the seaside of Tyre. Yes, after 70 years, the Lord will revive Tyre. I do believe that this is happening. This is a prophecy in Isaiah. God will revive Tyre. Tyre has always been a city that is rebelling against God, rich and proud, arrogant, and God judged Tyre so many times. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar came to conquer the island of Tyre and was not able because that's where the naval base is. Later on, God allowed Alexander the Great to do it, and he built a walkway to the island and conquered the island and destroyed the mainland Tyre, put the rubble in the sea, crossed over, destroyed the island, and destroyed the navy of Tyre, which was the whole story of Tyre. As you know, Tyre established colonies like Carthage, from where Hannibal came and went up to Rome through Spain, across the Alps, and was going to conquer the empire, but God spared them. And so Tyre, for years, now has been under the influence of Islam. And when I first went down to Tyre, I felt the Lord saying, go reclaim the land. 98% Muslims, mainly Shiites, only 2% Christians. And this is the same city that Jesus came to. This is the same city that Paul the Apostle was in. And yet, no light. And so we felt that's where God wants us. And down to Tyre we went, because also God's word says that God will revive Tyre. And so after 5 years of evangelism and work in Tyre, God established Tyre Church, a light in the darkness that really has people from every kindred, every nation, young and old, Palestinian, Syrian, Lebanese,
Africans, Ethiopians, Nigerians, Americans, everybody is entire. It's a body of Christ right there. God is reviving Tyre through his church. It has been 12 years since God started his work in Tyre, and he continues to be faithful to his church. It will not be long before a revival sets in. I do believe God is going to bring a great awakening to the city of Tyre. And we are starting to see more and more people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially with in the midst of suffering, in the midst of sorrow, we see God at work. If you ask me, how's Lebanon today? Lebanon is devastated. Nothing is functioning. Everything is going down the drain. But you know what? God's work is growing. God's work, God's kingdom is expanding. The gospel is advancing. In times like these, God uses the church to do things, to impact lives. These are times for us. Just as Mordecai said to Esther, you know, maybe God has chosen you for such a time. And God has chosen the church to minister to this world in such a time, not to be afraid. But to reach out to people, to give them hope. And so Tyre Church is giving hope in Tyre through its ministries. One of the latest projects that we have, we were able to purchase a rundown hospital, and we are going to open the River of Healing Medical Center, which will include in it a children's hospital of 12 beds, a birthing center, and a emergency room. It's going to be the only medical center between the Israeli border and our premises. Over 200,000 people will be able to benefit from this. That is hope. When everything is going berserk, when the country is going down the drain, Tyre Church is involved in establishing and building a medical center. This is what Jesus did, right? In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says Jesus went around healing people. He was healing people. And we have to heal people. A church should impact the community that is in. If we can't do that, then we need to close shop. Because we are here to impact the community that we live in. People have to look at us and see Jesus in us. And so pray for this project. It's a new one. We hope by spring to have the building ready for use. And we hope by the end of the year to have a hospital running. We are raising funds to do that. And God has been good to us. We also have a farm, Jacob's Farm. And we have cows, sheep, and goats. 2 years back, we have Syrian refugees who used to live in Syria and rural areas, and they were not able to work in the market, Lebanese market. And I was wondering what to do for them, to help them. We have to feel with people. We have to do something. We cannot stand idle on the misery of people, in front of the misery of people. We have to move. Jesus says he looked at the multitude and he had compassion. He did something. He didn't leave them the way they are. Many times we are so busy and entangled with the affairs of this world, we just want to send people home, just like the disciple. You know, after Jesus finished his discourse with the multitude, the disciples came to him and says, "Okay, chief, pack it, send them home." And Jesus looked at them and says, "What do you mean send them home? These people are hungry. I need to feed them." And the disciples were arguing with him, "Lord, we don't have money. None of your business. Let them sit down. I want to feed them." Love. It's not enough to say the truth. You have to express the truth in love. And so Tyre Church embarked on a small farm, hoping to help these
few families who were coming to our fellowship to make a living and provide for their families. Well, COVID-19 came in, and I could not travel, and I was quarantined. I quarantined in the farm with the cows and the sheep and the goats. And I started fixing things and expanding, and food was in shortage in Lebanon because of the economic crisis. And to top it all, when the explosion took place in Beirut, Lebanon lost 90,000 tons of its grain. And close to all of its food storage in the port. And if you know Lebanon, Lebanon lives on 80% import of its food supply. And here we saw the farm, God bless it, and it grew from few cows to 50 cows, from 50 sheep to 300, from 100 goats to 500. We are producing today over a ton of milk that we sell in the market and we give to people. Also, the farm is now providing for our kitchen that opens every day and feeds over 200 people. We supply a meal every day to families who are in need. These are our sheep, our goats, and here is our kitchen. Bread of Life Kitchen. We feed people. And we get the meat, the dairy products from the farm. And we get some of the vegetables from the farm. We have some fields that we have planted. God has blessed this farm, and that's why we called it Jacob's Farm. It multiplied quickly. And now it's a lucrative business, if I can say. It's producing. It's making money. And we thank the Lord for using it to provide for his people and to provide for needy families and poor families and refugees. We also have our music school that we started with 35 students. Today it's 95 students, led by a brother from Seattle, Jeremy Fletcher. We've seen over 12 people come to know the Lord through the music school. You know, it came to my mind, I see all these young people being taken by ISIS and given AK-47, and I said, we should stop this. We need to bring them, instead of them taking AK-47, give them a trombone, a trumpet. You know, it's much better. It's less damage, more grooming to the soul. And that's what we did. And God has used that ministry to really touch lives. I think here it has a video, but I don't know if we can play it. I don't think so. Anyhow, so this is the students playing "It Is Well With My Soul." If we had sound, we could have played this. Also, we have the Good Shepherd School. We started with a daycare a few years back. Now we have a K1, K2, K3. We have over 75 students. And Shiites families, they come and enroll their children, and they pay for us to tell them about Jesus. That's good evangelism, right? People pay for you, tell them about Jesus. And I mean, they don't pay much, but they do pay. They're ready to pay and put their children in a Christian school to learn about Jesus. What a great opportunity God is opening for us in the lives of these people. Also, we have the camp ministry. We have Camp Kalov, and also we have Camp Refuge now for teenagers. This ministry is in partnership with Kennecock Camp Ministries in Branson, Missouri, and it has really impacted a lot of lives. Every summer, we have 1,500 people come to this camp. Every week, 150, 200 children. And we love on them for 3 days and tell them about Jesus. And we have a lot of teams that come from the U.S. and help us do that. Great ministry for children. And this is some of the activities of the camp. We also have an orphan ministry. We care for the orphan and the widows. We minister to over 200 orphans and widows between Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. And God has blessed that ministry greatly. We have a shelter
where we have a place for single moms that we host them. We have now 5 families that are with us with around 15 children. And we hope one day to be able to build King's Kids family homes, foster homes for them, where we can place these orphans with house parents who are believers and who can take care of them. We are trying to introduce foster parenting to the Middle East and to the Muslim world. Islam does not believe in adoption. And so in Syria alone, because of the war, there is over 300,000 orphans. Just imagine how many institutions you need to take care of these orphans and widows. And so this is a great ministry. God has given us the land. We already landscaped it and fixed it. We were hoping to build this summer, but due to COVID-19, we had to delay things because the blueprints are being made by Engineering Mission International in Colorado Springs, and they were not able to come and continue the work because of the lockdown. But pray for this project because it's a great project and it's going to impact a lot of lives. We also have a grocery store, Blessings. So we produce honey, we produce oil, we have olives, we have vegetables, we have meat, we have dairy products, and the excess that we do not use in our kitchen, we sell to the public and to the market. And so we opened a grocery store where poor families can come, and if they don't have money, they can take, no problem, but we take cheaper rates from them and let them take advantage of what we have to produce. But in the end, her profits will be given to the Lord. Her wealth will not be hoarded, but will provide good food and fine clothing for the Lord's priests. I think this prophecy now is fulfilled in the entire church on a local level. You know, God is just blessing and using entire church to feed people and to clothe people. In fact, we have a clothes pantry and we have a sewing shop that we every year we sew pajamas and blankets and sports suits for the summer, and we distribute them by the hundreds to people. And the clothes pantry, we raise clothes from here and there, donations, and people come every week and pick up clothes for their children and for themselves. In fact, lately, because of the change of weather, we've had a lot of people come and take, and because of the economic situation. So God is just doing a great work in Tyre. And if you want to join in on what God is doing, you can do so as you see on the screen. Again, I want to thank you for all that you're doing and for your support and for your prayers. I don't know if there's a space for questions. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, Tini is a great lady, and God is using her. She's involved in the music school and in the church at large, in ministry, fellowshipping, and discipling other girls, teenage girls there, and just loving on handicapped children. She has a great ministry there, and we're hoping this year, coming year, to be able to have a center for handicapped where she can take care of them more strategically and systematically and be able to minister to their families. In fact, she did a camp this summer, and she was able to minister to over 30 children. And we thank the Lord for her, and thank you for all those who support her. She's a great lady. We love her a lot. Any more questions? Yes, sir.
Well, we're, of course, listening and reading about how the country is going to somehow or another rise up out of the ashes here.
Lebanon now is at a crossroad. As you know, of the conflict between Iran and the U.S. and Israel. And Lebanon is in the midst of that because of the presence of Hezbollah, which is the arm, the militia, and the armed arm of Iran in the Middle East. And Lebanon is under the influence of Hezbollah today. And Hezbollah is not allowing us to form a government, is not allowing us to have normal relationship with the Arab world and the region, which is mainly Sunni, and Hezbollah is Shiite, and not allowing us to have normal relationship with the West. And there are a lot of sanctions that are against Hezbollah that really impact Lebanon more than they impact Hezbollah, because Hezbollah is a mafia. It's a militia. It does things illegally, so it doesn't care. But who gets hurt most? The Lebanese people. How things are going to be in the days to come, we have to wait. We pray that God will do something and will change things. In the way it's going now, if the pressure keeps on, there might be hope for Lebanon. And they might be able to bring Iran to the table. And if they do negotiate a settlement with Iran, then we might be relieved of a lot of suffering and a lot of sorrow. If that doesn't happen, we just have to be patient. In it all, I see God working on the ministry level and the church level. It's great. These times, though they are difficult, though they're tough, God is working. And the influence of Hezbollah on its community is getting less and less. The reason is because Hezbollah is not able to provide for his people. And more people see that he is working for an outside group and not for the interest of Lebanon. So that is good in a way, because people are coming to churches and coming to us and seeking help, and they want an alternative in being with Hezbollah. So we hope there are negotiations between Lebanon and Hezbollah on the maritime borders, and we hope it goes to the land borders. If these negotiations take place and things go well for us, we will be in great position. It will be a beautiful time if the borders between Israel and Lebanon open. It will be a beautiful ride from the city of Tyre to Jerusalem in a car. It's like 2 hours. And this is the Jesus land there, and ministry definitely will boom, and God will do great things. We'll see if this is going to happen. If it doesn't, also I see great things happening, because in the midst of sorrow and suffering, God does work, and he changes lives.